Well, good morning, you all. I'm still catching my breath a bit from worship. Was everybody like, I was like filled with the Holy Spirit. That was like awesome, but my heart's pumping a little fast, so bear with me. So we have been talking about crucial conversations. How we have conversations, are our conversations filled with grace? Are they seasoned with salt, right? And then who are we having these conversations with? Who are we talking with about God? And one of the who's that we need to have conversations with is our kids. And so when we were planning this sermon series together as a staff, Pastor Jack and I had a little conversation, and it went like this. He said, "Hey, Rachel, can you preach this sermon on how to have conversations with your kids?" And I said, "Yeah, okay." So that was the conversation. And it does make sense, right? Because yes, I'm the kids and youth pastor. So of course I would be the one to preach or about talking with your kids, conversations with your kids. And I do have some qualifications. I won't put quotes around that. I did that earlier and Jill got mad at me. I have actual qualifications, okay? I have a child development degree. I worked with preschoolers for 15 years before I was called into ministry. I have 4 kids of my own that I have conversations with all the time. Yes, there they are. I know many of you know them. Pray for them. Some of them are homesick today, but when they come next week, please say hi to them. They're lovely, wonderful children, and they love talking. They might not always talk to you guys, but they talk to me all the time. So, but really, these qualifications are not why I'm up here preaching. And it's not even because I have a heart for serving with kids. It's because I believe that God wants our kids to hear his truth and to hear how much they are loved by him. And so that is why I am here. So before we get into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the worship today. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your spirit. And we just ask this room to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we read your word, as we hear this message, that this message is from you, whether you have kids, whether you are a kid, whether you don't have kids, it doesn't matter. We pray for your word to be received today. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so yes, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jack pointed us to this verse, and you can turn to it if you want, but it will be on the screen, Colossians 3:20. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord, okay? So we, as parents, if you have parents, we love this verse. We read it to our kids all the time. We point it out to them, right? Did you know, in my research for this, I found out you can actually purchase a wall hanging of this verse. So if you guys want to put that up in your living room, I can give you the link to Amazon. But unfortunately, what we heard from Pastor Jack was that this verse is not meant for us as parents to hold over our kids' heads. It is written to the children. The children, as a reminder that if you listen to your parents, and you listen to their wisdom, your life will be better. Of course, that doesn't mean we're not always trying to get our kids to listen to us, right? That's just it's a battle. I'm going to be honest. It's a battle sometime. But this whole idea of getting kids to listen to your parents, it can become a problem because often what we're saying as parents is not actually worth listening to. Are we saying something that's going to help build them up, right? We do all we can to build relationships with them, right? We hug them and we kiss them and we take them to soccer games and we pick them up from school and we buy them Starbucks. At least that's what I do for my kids. Because we'll do anything for our kids. We sacrifice them for them so that we can be the influence in their lives so that they'll listen to what we have to say. And then right when we get them right there at that moment, like, okay, they're going to listen to me. And then here's what we say. Don't talk with your mouth full. And don't sit too close to the TV or the iPad or the phone or the Nintendo. And don't blink your face that way because they might get stuck that way. Right? So, I mean, these are what we say. And it's important that our kids listen to us, but it's more important that we're having something worthy of them to say, that we're going to help build them up and develop their character and help them have a better life. So that's what this is all about. We're going to talk about four conversations today. Yes, there are many conversations that we can have, but these are four conversations that are necessary for us to have with our kids, that are going to build them into who God wants them to be, that are going to protect them as they grow in their life. But before we get into it, I do want to point out that I realize that not everybody here has kids. Or maybe your kids are already grown and moved out of the house, but please don't discount anything that I'm saying today, because this message is for you as well. Whether you have little kids or not, whether you're still a kid, this message is for you. So please just hear what the Lord wants you to hear today. So the first message that every single kid and person needs to hear is, I accept you for who you are. Right? Developmentally, this is the very first message that kids need to hear from their parents. I love you. I accept you. I'm so glad you're here in my life. And this is the message that God wants all of us to hear. And we can read that back in the Bible. We're going to go to Psalm 139. And I'm sure probably a lot of you have heard this one, and the whole passage is amazing, but we're going to focus on starting with the verse 13. And as I read this, I want you to think about your own self too, not just your kids, but your own self, because this is for you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This message is the one that God wants us all to hear. I know you. I love you. You are wonderfully made. Your strengths, your body, your personality, and your weaknesses. No matter where you are, I love you and I accept you for who you are. Because you were created by God just the way you are, and you are usable by God just the way you are. And I'm going to repeat that one. You were created by God just the way you are, and you are usable by God just the way you are. And that is a truth that we need in the depths of our soul. We need to have that. That's a message that we need to be giving, not just our kids, but our spouses and our friends, just all the time. You're worthy of love and affection just the way you are. So I'm going to have us watch a little video clip that shows what this means to tell a child they are worthy. So watch this with me.
Take another deep breath. Take a deep breath. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at mommy. Look at mama. I know you smashed your fingers in the door, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Take a deep breath. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at mommy. Say, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Say, I'm strong.
I'm strong.
Say, I'm beautiful.
I'm faithful.
Say, I'm loved.
I love.
Say, I'm worthy.
I'm worthy.
You're beautiful.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome, baby. I love you.
Okay, you, Mom.
Yeah, that's right. You see how her demeanor of hurt changed to love just by being reminded of how worthy she is? That gives me goosebumps every time I watch that clip. It's so sweet. But the thing is, why do we need to be reminded of this? Why isn't this just something that we know? We're worthy, right? God tells us over and over again that we're worthy, but we have to keep being reminded. And I think the reason why is because we don't really get it. God tells us this. but culture tells us a lot of other things. And so I'm going to read you this quote, and it's kind of long, so bear with me, but it is very good. The greatest challenge for most of us is believing that we are worthy now, right this minute. Worthiness doesn't have prerequisites. So many of us have knowingly created, unknowingly allowed, and been handed down a long list of worthiness prerequisites. I'll be worthy when I lose 20 pounds. I'll be worthy if I can get pregnant. I'll be worthy if I can get sober, stay sober. I'll be worthy if everyone thinks I'm a good parent. I'll be worthy when I can make a living selling my art. I'll be worthy if I can hold my marriage together. I'll be worthy when I make partner. I'll be worthy when my parents finally approve. I'll be worthy if he calls back and asks me out. I'll be worthy when I can do it all and look like I'm not even trying. But here's what is truly at the heart of wholeheartedness: worthy now. Not if, not when. We are worthy of love and belonging now, right this minute, as is, in addition to letting go of all the ifs and the whens. Right? Yeah. And so we feel that. We feel that as adults. We feel that in our hearts. But there's even more. Let's add on to that and talk about what this means for kids, what they're hearing growing up. Worthy if I do well in school. Worthy if my art is chosen for the fair. Worthy if I'm the best on my softball team. Worthy if I get into that college. Worthy if I'm a part of that crowd. Worthy if I'm asked to prom. Worthy if I'm chosen to be the lead in the play. And somehow kids today are told, or they think that they need to be good at everything. I need to be good at math and science and reading and art and sports and all these things. And it's just exhausting. It's exhausting. For us, it's exhausting for them to hear this. They are desperate to hear a different voice. They're inundated with this message all the time from culture and school, and they want to know something different. They want to be told, you are worthy, you are valuable right now, just as you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I accept you for who you are. Yeah. Second conversation, though. Yes, you are worthy, but it's also not all about you. Right? Balance, people. We got to have balance. So we talked before about how we'll do anything for our kids, right? We want what's best for them. We research the best schools for them to go to, the best pediatrician in town, the best little league to sign up for, the best ballet studio, the best place to go camping, the best vacation trips. We want them to grow up and follow their dreams, right? That's the goal. We want them to get into a good college and then get a good job that pays well. Also, they can grow up and do the same thing for all of their kids. Okay, so that seems like a good problem. But is that, a good goal? It is a problem. It's a problem because it's not likely going to make them happy. And I wonder if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, I can understand that. I have some experience with that. I'm going to read another quote. This one's shorter. Because there is always someone who has more than we have. The constant shuffle becomes a source of pressure that leads not to happiness, but to envy, anxiety, and stress. Do you feel that? Because I feel that. Because if our goal for our kids is simply to get an education and get a job and just take care of yourself, then all we're going to do, all we will succeed at doing, is creating hardworking, high-achieving, selfish people who don't enjoy life. And yes, I want my children to do well and have these things, but when we make our lives all about these choices, and then we have no time and no energy and no incentive to focus on anybody else except ourselves, that is a problem. And that is not the way that God measures success in our lives. So let's hear what God says. Straight from Jesus, Matthew 23, Verse 11. The greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So if you want to be great, serve others. And if you want to be happy, serve others. And if you want to find joy, serve others. Because it's not all about you, it's about making a difference in the lives of others. And that is one of our core values here at Covenant Grove. Right here. Impact. Making a difference in the lives of others. That's what we're all about. And that's what's so awesome. What's really awesome, actually, is that we have so many families and kids that are already doing this. So you guys are on the right track. I just gotta say. I'm not trying to like talk down to you. You guys are doing a good job. And I want to tell you some of the things that our kids have done in the past year to serve others. This is just in the past year. Packing meals for hungry kids during Fight Hunger. Making Christmas cards and caroling at a retirement home. Building a garden at a local elementary school. Serving meals to the homeless at the Modesto Gospel Mission. Collecting art supplies to donate to the Children's Crisis Center. And building a home for a family in need in Mexico. And these kids that are doing this are learning that it's not all about you. And in learning this lesson, they're also finding joy. So maybe this is the time to challenge your kids and maybe even yourselves to think of someone other than yourselves. So it's time for you to have the conversation. It's not all about you. Find a way to serve. And if you need ideas on how to serve, come talk to me. Okay, number 3. This is a doozy. Are you ready for this one? Make wise decisions with your sexuality. Kids need to hear this, and you know it. You knew that, well, maybe you didn't know, but I think a little part of you knew that I was going to be talking about this. Because our kids, along with everything else they're learning in culture, they're going to be learning about sex. And it's really up to us to get to them before culture does. Because I can guarantee you that the information they're learning from culture is not the information that you want them to learn as your parent, as their parent. And I know that this is like a scary subject, and you might not even know, like, how do I even have this conversation? Where do I even go with this? So I have it really simple. The sex talk in 3 steps. Okay. Here we go. Number 1, share with your kids early and often about sex starting between ages 8 and 10. And I know that's like, what? That is really young. That's so young. But remember, you want to be the first one. You don't want it to be coming from a classmate or a movie or anything else. You want to be the one to get to them because they learn early. I was introduced to pornography when I was 11 years old. 11. And that was from a flyer that was on the ground at the park. That was before we had access to the internet. And now our kids have phones that have access to the whole world. So it's out there. And I'm telling you guys, the enemy, he's out there and he is looking to corrupt us. And he starts very, very young. So you need to be prepared and talk to your kids first. And like I said, not just once, but often. We don't just, hey, let's just have the big talk. Here it is, sit down, and then we never talk about this again. Because can you imagine if we had that kind of mentality with any other talk? Guess what? I just had the big clean your room talk with Cody. I'm never going to have to ask him to clean his room again. Oh, I just had the brush your teeth talk with Sadie. We'll never have to worry about cavities. Yes. No, it doesn't work that way. We constantly have to remind them and talk to them, right? So the same goes here. You want it to be a regular part of your conversation. But then how? Really simple. Number two, give them the basics on how things work. Tell it to them straight. Here's your body. Here's what it does. Okay? Very simple. And I have a story. This one I'm going to say is from Pastor Jack. I couldn't pass up sharing this story with you. He said that when his wife sat his kid down to talk to him about this, she detailed how it worked, and she explained that sex leads to babies, to which the child said, "You mean you did that three times?" To which his wife said, "Well, we've done it more than three times." And his son said, "Have you done it recently?" So yes, tell it to them straight and be prepared for awkward conversations, okay? It will happen. And third and most importantly is to give them God's gold standard on sexuality. What does God want them to do with their bodies? And these are all Bible verses. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but you can see it up here. Your body is custom designed by God. That's what we read earlier in Psalm 139. Your body isn't your own. It's God's temple. Keep the temple pure and clean. Be prepared to be challenged for taking a stand for purity. And God's way is a way of blessings and no regrets. You could take a picture of this if you want. This is what your kids need to know about their body. This conversation really comes down to protecting our kids, right? So don't be scared. We want to help them understand how to make these wise decisions about their sexuality. Okay, here we go. Last conversation and most important conversation. Put God at the center of your life. And this one can be another one that could be scary for parents, actually, because you might think that you need to be like a Bible expert and understand the whole Bible, and I have to lead family devotions, and I have to know how to pray, like how to pray the right words. But you don't need to be an expert in any of these things. And why is that? Because when we follow God, God gives us the wisdom and the words to say to our children to know how to speak into their lives. And he wants us to do it over and over and over again. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 5, because this is for all of us. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What is this saying? Talk about it all the time, right? Putting God at the center is not about your knowledge or your expertise. It's about talking about God and everything that you're doing. It's letting God into your regular conversations. So talk to your kids about God on your way home from church. Read about him as you're putting your kids to bed. Talk about him at the dinner table. Talk about him and how he's working in your own life. And again, repeating. Because if you're telling your kids about all the ways that God is working in your lives, not just in the big ways, but in the small ways, then that helps them understand how God is working in their lives. They're only going to see it if you're talking about it all the time. And that's the ultimate goal of all these conversations. All these conversations are about letting our kids, teaching our kids and ourselves to know God, to love God, and to know how much God loves you. We want to help every person know, love, and follow God. So with that, let's pray again. Dear Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you that even these difficult conversations are important. And we pray that we can hear that today and we can take these with us and acknowledge that even though it's hard, we're following you. We're trusting you. We're trusting you with our kids' lives. We're trusting you with our own lives. So Lord, in the moments when we're afraid to speak, give us the words to say. Go before us today. Thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen.